Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I asked James today what he wanted to talk about, and he said finger banging.
Finger blasting. I think that is potentially something that we should bring back.
No, I don't think that's a topic that we should talk about. And he said, well, it's sexy. And I was like, it's not sexy.
Ron, don't look at me like that.
Are we recording?
Yes, you know we're recording.
I don't know we're recording.
Yes, we're recording. We're recording every time. We said we're recording. We're recording.
James spends all of his money on microphones, cameras, technology, phones, 7 laptops, 5 iPads. And he's now decided that technology stresses him out and he doesn't like it anymore.
Sorry, that was a terrible introduction to Couples Quarantine. I'm James Haskell.
I'm Chloe Maidley.
And welcome to Get Off Your Phone.
I'm getting up the questions.
Right, well, so this is episode 5 of Couples Quarantine, the organised row between me and my wife. We actually didn't normally do this because we were having a row. but we won't go into that because Chloe's still...
We will go into that.
Oh, we will go into
that. Everyone will shockingly agree with me.
Fine, I don't think they will. But anyway, do you want to tell everyone what we're talking about this week?
Yeah, I asked James today what he wanted to talk about and he said finger banging.
Finger blasting. I think that is potentially something that we should bring back.
No, I don't think that's a topic that we should talk about. And he said, well, it's sexy. And I was like, it's not sexy.
I think there's a lot of people who need some advice on finger blasting. I'd like to bring finger blasting back because it's sort of, it stops when you're 15. That's the last blast you ever do. that's it. I mean, I think it's something that...
Okay, well, I don't think that we should talk about finger blasting. And then I said that we should talk about the fact that we had an argument this holiday and James thought that it would be a really clever idea to get up from the table in the middle of lunch, leave, go on a mega night out with all of his single mates and come back to the hotel room at 2 a.m, which is interesting because everywhere where we are is 10 minutes away and everywhere shuts at midnight. So, that was fun, but then we decided that maybe that was a bit too personal, even though
you've already gone personal. Yeah,
so my point was, I don't mind if you need to clear off for like a couple of hours, right. Have a drink, clear your head, even go see your friends, relax. But then we have dinner plans that I've been really excited about because it's my favorite restaurant in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You need to come back, but you were gone for the entire afternoon, evening, into the early hours of the morning, which is absolutely overkill. Like, too much, doesn't need to happen. You're an arsehole.
Yeah, but the thing is that nobody's had to deal with your level of incessant chat. And, you know,
nobody's had to deal with your level of incessant anger.
You were sitting the other side of the table, so much so you came to sit next to me to woodpecker me on that side of the table. And I said, please stop.
Why did I come and sit next to you? Because what happened when I was in the middle of talking? James does his favourite trick of, I'm in the middle of talking, we're having a discussion. He'll talk, he'll be like...
It's more of a lecture hosted by Chloe Maidley.
When I say this, it's coming from his mouth. James, shame, 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 James. And then puts his headphones on, and I'm like, well, "Hang on, I'm trying to talk. I'm trying to converse here." But the headphones are on.
Yeah,
and he'll just go like this with his hand.
Yeah, because you're repeating yourself. You're saying the same thing over again.
And then
again.
I'm like, "Okay, so I'll sit next to him. And be like, babe, please, can you listen to me? Because like, this is really frustrating. I'm trying to speak, and you just put your headphones on after I listen to you for 10 minutes. And then he got up from the table and he left. Hence, we had a huge row. And actually, I wouldn't have minded if you'd have come back. After a couple of hours at 2 a.m. 2 a.m., which again is interesting, given everywhere here closes at 12 and it doesn't take two hours to get anywhere.
That a million times.
I really believe you.
All right.
Given that when he called me telling me he was outside on his own waiting for a cab, all I could hear in the background was about 100 people.
Girls going, school.
Girls and boys, but everyone just
Greece,
screaming.
Isn't it? You can do what anything goes.
Well, anyway,
I'm glad you didn't vote. You know, we didn't air that dirty laundry out there.
Yeah, but it's fine. We made up.
I mean, look,
today.
I got up to walk off because you never stop, and you think it's wrong for me to get up and walk away. And we will do an episode on how we can argue better, I think. But now's not the time. I don't want to talk about finger blasting.
But I think
because we're on holiday.
The funny thing is that you don't want me to talk to you, so you put your headphones in. But that's what then makes me push you to talk to
but
me.
Are you saying anything different?
But then you, absolutely. But then you turn around and you say, I've got my headphones in, don't talk to me. Yeah. And I'm like, but I just listened to you talk for 20 minutes. Then you storm off because I am, quote unquote, pushing you to talk to me. Yeah, dickhead, because you've got your headphones on. Anyway, we did actually make up today. But, you know, we're just reliving it.
No, I'm not reliving anything. I think everyone who listens to this, the four people, including my family,
everybody, write in. What is the address? I don't know.
How can you not know the question?
I don't pay attention.
And that's why you repeat yourself at the table and people have to walk off and have nights out without you.
I was trying to buy you a present.
I didn't want your present.
I was trying to buy you a present. I was trying to get you to a place where you would talk about what you wanted.
A penis enlargement is not a present.
You just got angry. That's another thing. The thing that led to the argument was me trying to buy you a present.
Oh, right. Okay, let's cut this absolute crap. Send your answer into CQ questions at jameshaskell.org. That's CQ questions at jameshaskell.org.
But just
life. Do you want me to just repeat yourself? You're first hand here.
No, I'm not repeating myself. Right. I'm about to say, before you send in your questions, I haven't said that before. Right. It's just that I talk and you don't like it.
Yep.
Before you write in and you're like, there's nothing wrong with space, or a guy's night out.
Yep.
I agree. There is nothing wrong with space. Absolutely agree. So please don't say that. But the whole entire evening of like hardcore partying, like afternoon, evening and early morning, is a bit much, especially when we had dinner plans. And again, second of all, I don't care if you go on a boys' night out, but not the night that we have dinner plans. Like, that, go on a boys' night out, fine. Have your space, fine. Don't do it when it's not appropriate.
Yeah, but I just didn't want to row in the first place, so I asked you to stop. You didn't stop.
Neither did I. I was trying to buy you a bloody present.
No, you were trying to be mad. Okay, but anyway. So
anyway. Clearly we're over. We are actually. We
Episode
made
five,
up. We've
yeah.
had a nice day.
Yeah, we did. We went to a lovely, lovely traditional Greek restaurant. Got free rosé in the queue. Went swimming in the sea.
Anybody that's been there will know. I know what that restaurant is.
Had a cuddle and kiss. Chloe's brought up the argument 30 times today and on couples quarantine. But as I've, you know,
yeah, because he keeps going to me, we should go for a romantic dinner at the restaurant that I love.
Yeah,
and I'm like, we had a reservation there last night and we probably can't get another one.
Look, men, how often do women just not let stuff go? That's what we should do an episode. I wanted an episode on arguing, but also women just not letting stuff go. Let it go.
When you make it up to me, guarantee you I'll let it go.
When are you going
to
make it up to me?
That you fucked off and left me?
Yeah, because you forced me to, because you're so annoying.
No, I didn't. I wouldn't have badgered you.
I left because I'm completely insane. I'm not insane.
You hadn't put your headphones on.
By the way, we're drinking margaritas while we're doing this, because this is what we decided to do. Because if it wasn't controversial enough, we decided to now drink through doing the couples quarantine.
The best thing to do when you're having a fight is bring alcohol into the equation, in case you didn't know. No, we genuinely, I keep saying this I am repeating, we genuinely have made up today, but this was something that I wanted to talk about on the podcast. I thought it would be a really good podcast episode, like how to deal with an argument, how much space is like taking the piss kind of thing, and like how best to deal with it when you need like a bit of a timeout. And I'm all for a timeout.
Yeah, you made a bit just personal.
I had a timeout the other day.
I think you basically used couples quarantine as a therapy session to abuse me.
Yeah, but then you said it's too personal, and now here we are.
Yeah, so what do you want to talk about this week?
Okay, so James said finger blasting. I said absolutely not. I said arguments, including ours, and he said absolutely not. We've now done both.
Yeah. Well, I didn't talk about finger blasting. Lads.
No.
Well, no, we're not going into it, but actually, you know, from what I've heard from women, and this is a couple of lads' technique is terrible, and that there is a lot of like misnomers about finger blasting.
Thank you, porn, by the way. Thank you, porn, for all the chafing that we're getting, all of the bodily fluids that we don't want on us ending up on us, and
Christ, what? I mean,
all of the unbelievably painful actions that guys now think we like in bed, because these porn stars are fake orgasming in the middle of a hellish extravaganza of porn scene filming.
I don't watch porn, so I can't comment on any of this, but I imagine, I mean, like, the noise that hit.
What do you do again every time I go training? It's James's free fun hour.
Sit and relax.
No, what
study
did you
DJ.
Say on the episode with Emma Sale? And I was like, you just gave yourself away there, son. You were like, oh, I'd be really shocked.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I would be really shocked if we got to a Killing Kittens party and Chloe suddenly went all evil angel on me. And I was like, you just basically told everyone what porn site you're on every day.
I don't know what you're talking about. It's just the connoisseurs and professionals will know. Tell you what, we should do an episode. Let me know if you want to do an episode, because we are getting, I know we keep talking about it, but CQ questions at jameshaskell.org. Send them in, because we are getting some. We're going to read actually all of them through this episode today, cover off a couple of bits. But what you wanted to talk about was what?
All right, James, I'm a big fan of the podcast. I'm a pilot and I listen to it every chance I get. free flights.
Yeah, I'd like that. We need some sponsors on this pod. This shower of shit that is Quabs Quarantine.
I feel like we have sponsors every episode.
We have like Beer 15.
No, we have ads, not sponsors. Yeah, we need some commitment, guys. Yeah. Can you both touch on your thoughts of a long distance relationship and ask Chloe especially, what is a guy supposed to do when a girl wants quote unquote time for herself? Ha ha, thanks man, keep it up. So James, do you want to start?
Yeah, but look, I've actually had quite a few long distance relationships.
Same.
I moved to New Zealand, I moved to France, and my relationship disintegrated with one partner.
Which was the first or the second?
First.
Oh yeah.
All right, relax. And they didn't want to go. And then I decided to move to New Zealand and Japan. Asked my then partner to come with me, and they said no. But we carried on being together, and it was almost interesting because it was that kind of pressure time in life where I think they thought I'd have to get engaged, like keep it sweet while I was away. But I managed to dodge that.
How old are you?
I was 26, 26. I know it was too young, I know that, but so I managed to deal with that. I think Skype, technology, FaceTime is a wonderful thing in terms of being able to communicate. I think you have to show a good level of
communication. Get your techno freak on.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the old phone sex and Skype sex and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
but
it's not.
No, it's not the same. It's not the same.
Especially for girls, again, because we feel like it's a show.
Yeah, but now you can get those things you connect to your laptops, like you can put your knob in a thing and it'll, you know.
What?
I know, I saw it the other day. It's like...
Oh, really? How did you find out about this, James?
Well, that big box that arrived. No, the virtual reality stuff. You can, with virtual reality, get these attachments, apparently. I've not seen... Why? Who am I virtual reality sex shagging?
What do you think I thought when you got your virtual reality camera?
Yeah, when I got my Oculus Rift or whatever it was called, Chloe put it on in the bedroom. It's on my Instagram, if you don't believe. And she's looking around, she goes, I don't want you watching porn. But obviously she can't see what she's doing. She went, do you hear me? And I was like, yeah, I did hear you.
And now nobody's virtually doing it. You know that there are attachments.
Apparently, I've not seen them, but I think you can. I think that's the next wave of technology. So maybe long distance relationships will work better that way.
Mankind is doomed if these are the lows we're stooping to.
Hold on a minute. Say I move to New Zealand and you're back here and you can't come for some reason. You know, if I plug the old VR
in what context? I'm
you
very
plug
confused.
In the old vibra- you know, the old VR dilly into the side of the computer.
Oh no!
And I put an attachment onto my lady man.
You literally poached.
Well, I put one onto my penis, and I'm caught living in my living room thrusting, and you get the sensation. Surely that would be good, wouldn't it?
Do the thrusting movement again? Thrusting. No, it's not sexy in any way, shape, or form.
Okay, but I mean, look, I think the way the long distance relationships actually work, they are possible. They are not easy. They are not overly successful. You have to, when they say long distance, you know, you've got to meet up at least, you know, every couple of months. Otherwise, it won't work. You need to communicate all the time. You need to obviously have a trusting and strong foundation. And ideally, if you're in that time, you know, maybe put a longer term commitment. But, you know, out of sight, out of mind is true. And there's always some bloke offering a dick to cry, a shoulder to cry on or something, you know, if you're away. So you just have to be very careful about these things. But I would say, look, they are possible because, look, we all get career opportunities and things away. Being a professional sportsman, you know, I had to be very selfish in my career. I had to make decisions and go, look, I'm going to go and do this. You're either on the Haas train or you're off. And a lot of people got off and tried to stay on, but the train left. Are you even listening to what I'm saying?
Yeah, I am. You're talking about the Haas train and how a lot of people tried to stay off or whatever. As soon as you say that phrase, which I've heard so many times, I kind of shut off.
Fine. So what would your advice to long distance then? How would you survive it?
Okay, so this is why I would say that, like, every person is different. And so for me, and I have had loads of long distance relationships, my first boyfriend lived in Manchester and I was in London, and that was a 5-year relationship. My second boyfriend lived in Leeds and I was in London, and that was a 3-year relationship. My third boyfriend, the other two were like outside London and I was in London, so that's still like about an hour away. And then me and you, for the first, God, for like 3 years of our relationship, we would go months and months and months and months without seeing each other. So I've had my fair share. And I would say that for me personally, I find it really hard, right, especially in the beginning. I'm one of those people that, like, I'm quite a homebody and I'm quite a nester, which obviously means when I fall in love with somebody, I like to see them and I like to nest with them and, like, you know.
You're a giant pigeon or something.
Yeah, I am. I'm a big, fat, purry pigeon, and I need to have, like, I really like to have that kind of, no, the closeness, the closeness and the intimacy that I, to me, are really important in a relationship. Now, that's not to say that I don't get used to it. Like I say, I've had a fair few of them, and they've gone on, you know, for months, years, like long periods of time. And I do get used to it. So James, when James had gone away, when was your longest tour? Was it Lions?
The Lions tour.
Like 2 months.
10 weeks it was.
Yeah, 2.5 months. And I would say I do. It's very,
actually longer. It was 14 weeks. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it was so, a long old time. And I, in the beginning, it was really hard, like horrible, like tore me apart, was awful. I never worried about you, which in hindsight is quite a feat. I never worried about you in terms of monogamy, but
what is monogamy? Just, is that like oak and
yes,
teak and stuff? Because I love mahogany.
But I mean, I was sick with missing you because at that point we've been together years and years and years. Were we engaged then?
No, not yet.
It was a few months before.
My old knee hadn't given way then.
And then, but then I will say that I am weirdly also simultaneously fiercely independent. And as soon as that kind of fourth, fifth week hit, I kind of am good on my own. And then I start to get nervous about seeing them again, and not in a good way, not like a butterfly happy nervous. Like even with you, we'd been together years, like 2-3 years.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, like I've kind of got my own thing going on now, and I don't want this person to come back and disrupt my life, and I love them, so of course I'm going to make a go of it, but oh, this is going to be awkward. And then when you see them, and then it's really awkward for like 2 weeks, and you have to get back into the groove of being in a relationship, because you're not dating, you're in a full-on relationship, and that's a huge shift. So I always found it really hard. It never sat well with me. I did it anyway because I love pretty hard, but it never sat well with me. However, that's my rant. My best friend loves space, loves freedom, really, really hates feeling crowded or overly committed in any relationship, even when she's madly in love with someone. She needs space. And her and her long-term partner of 8 years.
Hold on, you look at me. I don't know how long we've been together.
Yeah, they've been together. They've been together 8 years. He's a musician. He's always on tour. And I swear to God, if he wasn't, that relationship would have died within the first year. She needs the space. So what I'm trying to say is, it's different for everybody, and it's different for every couple. And I think that it all depends on you and her. Now, when we get to the second part of the question,
well, can I just say one thing about for the space?
I've been talking for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, classic you. That's what I have to listen when you're doing one of your special talks. Is I have to say, though, I think the reason our relationship survived and the other stuff I had with longer distance relationship was I already had an established relationship. We already had our boundaries, already understood what we were about, and we were already committed. I think early doors in a relationship of long distance, I don't think it's going to work. I disagree
because I think actually it can push the couple to really draw out those boundaries, which are like non-negotiables, sooner rather than later. Actually, and I think that with a lot of things, like moving in together quickly, a lot of people are like, oh, it's too soon. I'm like, why? You're going to move in together eventually. Do it now and see if you're compatible. Because if you're not and you go 2 years down the line, you wasted 2 years of your life. Like, I actually think it's a good thing sometimes to jump in and be like, okay, bang, 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 this.
Yeah, but you girls take advantage if you move straight in. Before we move straight in, we've got a dog, a kid, and we're married.
You've been begging me for a dog for years, and I keep saying no.
Yeah, because you won't let me have one, because you're a fucking dog Nazi. You won't let me have one.
I mean, it's just I know that I'm going to have to... Anyway, this is a different topic. Carry on.
No, so I just think, well, my view is that you'd have to be a bit more established, make sure you're fully committed, make sure it's worthwhile, because I always find it funny when you speak to young guys or girls and they're going, oh, I'm going off to uni, and they're like, I've met my girlfriend, we're going off to separate unis, we're going to stay together. It's like, no, you're not.
Yeah, that's funny. No, you're not. I doubt we have any teenagers listening, but...
Well, we should do.
Look, guys, I did that. I stayed with my boyfriend for the first few months, but I was... That's a lie.
Yeah, you're a liar. Don't lie to the listeners.
2 weeks that I was at uni.
Listeners and viewers.
2 weeks that I was at uni and then...
Yeah, and then fell apart. Yeah, so I don't think that works. But I do think the long distance thing is definitely possible. Communication, modern technology really helps. I think checking in all the time. And actually, interestingly, what Emma Sale said on our episode the other day, the little text messages, just thinking of you. You know, I started texting you, didn't I? text you going, you got a fit bum and stuff?
No.
I did. I sent you one text going, you look fit today. You got a nice bum.
Yeah.
I didn't get anything back though. I got a text message going, new number, who this? And I was like, it's me, Chloe. I was sitting across the room, so that didn't work. But I think FaceTime, Skype can really help. You know, virtual reality, sex.
Just going to say that's all fluff on top of a very ultimatum sliced pie. So I'm saying that's all fluff. FaceTime's great. Skype's like anything can work with technology these days. Fuck off. Either, I'm sorry, you will learn very quickly if your long distance relationship is going to last or not. And I'll tell you what it all comes down to. Are you the kind of person that can handle a long distance relationship or not? I am not. I'm shocked that I've managed to do it. I never found it easy. Not when it was hard and not when it was easy. And I know that was weird to say, but it never sat well with me. But like I say, my best friend couldn't be.
Yeah. I mean, I
don't actually even think that she could live. Like, they live with her two best friends in this amazing, amazing two-story flat.
Location.
No, sorry, but I'm saying I don't even think she could, like, she needs her own life.
But I mean, you and I are very different. You know, you're a very intense lover. I mean, in terms of love, not like lover, but you're a intense lover. But, you know, I really love you, and I'm, you know, we have moments and nostalgia and everything else that, and we really enjoy company. But I can go a little period of time without you, but then I miss, you know, I could do like a month, but then I would need to see you. I miss that physical contact.
A little period of time is a month. That's a big chunk of time without your wife.
But time flies when you're busy, international businessmen, you know, entrepreneurs.
I'm busier than you.
Yeah, well, then time would fly for you, wouldn't it? You like your own creature comforts. As long as someone's like...
Are you getting heartburn from the tequila?
No. I've got a bit of sunburn. I've got a bit of sunburn and sand on my chest.
Really? Because I saw you sucking Gaviscon earlier.
Who's Gav? And what the fuck is he doing in our room?
Anyway, okay, so that's what I mean. I think ultimately it comes down to you. Okay, and then you say, what is a guy supposed to do when a girl wants time for herself? And where I was going with that is that she sounds to me like she is the kind of girl who is like my best friend. As in, she's the kind of girl who needs time for herself. Now, again, that is fine. Like, that's not a problem at all. If you're the kind of guy that's okay with that kind of arm's length distance, because that's what she needs. And I don't mean she can't fall madly in love with you and be like, I can't live without him. But it means that behaviorally, as a couple, you're never going to, maybe, if you're like me, get to that depth, which is what I need. So I need to have real, like, commitment, intimacy, and love from my partner. And that I'm not ashamed of saying that.
No.
I'm not. But I don't, you know, James and I maybe sometimes butt heads because, as last night goes to show, sometimes he just wants to run off. And that's fine.
I didn't want to run off. I wanted to have dinner. But you were being a nightmare.
But that's fine. But that's something that we have to be aware of as a couple. Like, I know that we talked about this, first podcast.
Yeah.
You need space.
Yes.
And that's fine. And I don't really.
Yeah, but you do sometimes because you get quite stressed. I need to work on my own.
I don't like it when I'm trying to work and you're in my grill.
You're
like,
creature of habits. You've got OCD and you're a bit of a control freak. You like to have those little things you're in charge. You know, like, you like to unwind the evening, watch your little programs. Like,
I work to a schedule. But then I think I have to because I'm... Anyway, that's beside the point. I would say that ultimately all it comes down to is you need to have a think about whether or not you guys are compatible, and that's all I'm trying to say. Right. And actually, it's not the end of the world if you're not. You can still make it work. James and I aren't particularly compatible, and we make it work, and we're pretty good. My parents are completely incompatible, and they make it work.
I think we're more compatible than you think, but I do think our differences also balance us out. You know, if I was the same as you, I don't know what would happen. We'd be like Thelma and Louise, end up driving off the side of the cliff. But I think the space thing's an interesting one, because that is always a precursor, I feel, to getting the shepherd's crook and getting, you know, yanked out. I think, you know, look, you're obviously maybe coming on a bit strong if the girl says she needs a bit of space, or maybe she needs to
take time to myself.
Yeah, time to yourself. Fine, but maybe that she just needs to, like, factor in how serious the relationship is. Give her a bit of time.
But also,
don't hound her.
If you're a pilot, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to presume that she's in the same industry as you, but I do know a couple of pilots. I do have, like, an inside scoop on how this all works, and I'm pretty sure you guys all intermingle.
Are you accusing pilots of shagging?
Well, no. I just mean air crew.
Oh.
Cabin crew. I mean, I know I'm not calling a pilot cabin crew, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, people in this industry.
Yeah,
what am I trying to say? Aviation industry.
Yes.
do tend to, I do know a couple of pilots, right, and they do tend to
put
a
uniform
uni
on and go and
do, yeah, this. I mean, why would you not? Come on, it's a good uniform.
So we put that question to rest. We think it can work, but you know, down to the individual, down,
yeah, but
to the
what I'm saying
structure.
Is, sorry, where I was going with that is that I think it's interesting. You think about the kinds of people that would go into the travel industry in that they are literally traveling. I wonder if it's not a type of person that is a bit of a free spirit, that is a bit of a nomad.
Yeah.
And that maybe if you're the kind of person who happens to fall into the industry and you're not like that, and you actually weirdly happen to be a bit of a homebody, I can see how this could happen time and time and time again. You know,
yeah,
like in the performers world, they're all free spirits. They're all pretty fluid. And when you find someone who's really monogamous and like has like their eye on a family and a marriage and da-da, it can go horribly wrong.
Yeah, fine. All right. I think you're painting a bit of a negative picture of it.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying maybe your ideal partner, if I am right and she is in the aviation industry, maybe a more appropriate partner for you would be literally on the ground.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I feel like I talked that one to death.
Yeah, it's fine. But I think you came up with some good conclusions. That's the whole point of couples quarantine, to get a male perspective. And I think it works, but I think your race is going to be established.
This is Couples Quarantine.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Couples Quarantine. Now, I know, Chloe, you've been snooping around and actually worked out a little bit about what's going on today. But this episode is sponsored by Athletic Greens, a comprehensive nutritional beverage.
Yeah, with so many stresses in life, it can be really difficult to get in enough fruit and veg, aka micronutrients that our bodies really need. But this is where Athletic Greens can help you out. Their daily all-in-one greens powder is easily added to your day-to-day life with zero worry or fuss.
Do you know what? It's actually really tasty, because some green supplements are a little bit ugh, but Athletic Greens does an awesome job packing in 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food source ingredients, including multivitamins, minerals, probiotics, green superfoods. I know I sound like an absolute keto scientist here, but of course I read the boxes. Mm-hmm. It was my daily reading for the day. It also increases energy and focus and aids with digestion and supports a healthy immune system, all without the need, I won't believe this, to take multiple products.
Athletic Greens is one formula based on the latest research, investing in absorbable and natural sources of each ingredient and going above and beyond in third-party testing to ensure that their customers receive the highest quality supplement.
It's lifestyle-friendly whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free or gluten-free, no thanks, and contains less than 1 gram of sugar without compromising on taste. And I've tried this and I agree. I give it my Haskell seal of approval.
So right now, Athletic Greens will support your immune system during the winter months, and they're offering our audience a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase if you visit the link today. You'll basically never have to buy vitamin D again.
Sorry, did you say a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs?
Yes.
Can I claim that?
I'm sure you can.
I know it's insider trading, but all you have to do to win this incredible prize is simply visit athleticgreens.com/couples and join health experts, Chloe, athletes, me, and health-conscious go-getters around the world to make a daily commitment to their health every day. Again, for the Slow Reader Group, simply visit athleticgreens.com/couples and get your free year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs.
This is Couples Quarantine.
What's the next question?
Okay, here we go. Sorry, it's a very, 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 very long email.
By the way, we don't name people when we read the questions out, because I think it's a bit personal, but we are getting all of your emails.
Yeah.
There was a nice lady who talked about the ear cleaning, and she said that, yeah, the bloke who complained about the tampons was a dickhead, so yeah, we agree.
Yeah,
with
she
that.
Was like, don't apologise to him for being too aggressive, which I was, yeah. And I am.
But don't apologise.
She was like, no, we can't keep denying that natural, you know, bodily functions of the car for us women. And I agree, there's so much. What is this weird denial that people have about people having their periods? We have a period. Get over it. What is wrong with everyone?
Doesn't it attract bears, though?
Is that why you're here?
Yeah, because I'm a little bit concerned that if you're a restaurant, a bear's going to come through.
I'm quite hungry. Okay, so I'm not going to read out the whole thing.
Fine.
And to this person, I've read your whole email, and I really appreciate all the backstory, but it's just to keep it quicker for the podcast. So... The topic I wondered if you guys could help me with is, have either of you come out of anything long term? Yes,
loads.
Your hand is on your hip. Yeah. Loads. And how do you know when the time is right to move on and meet new people? I actually have a scientific data-filled answer for this, but you go first.
Well, no, you hit them with the science.
No, you go first.
No, I mean, look, when is it time to move on? I think it's very hard to break up with people. It's very hard to separate. You know, a lot of times you're in a long-term relationship. It's almost familiarity that keeps you together. Yeah. It's almost comfort. You know, scared of safety, scared of the, you know, of will I ever feel like this again? Will I ever be happy again? Is there another person for me? You know, being single, like when you're single, you think, yeah, this is fucking the life. But when you're in a relationship and you look at being single, you're like, oh God, you know, how do I even talk to people? What's it like out there? And but then, you know, sometimes men think it's a real novelty, like the grass is green, like I'd love to be single again when the summer's out. But in your winter and you're a bit cold, you need someone to have a little cuddle with. It's a difficult situation.
The grass is greener either which way.
Look, my thing, the reason why I marry Chloe, and it's a simple equation, it's not based on any science other than James Haskell science, which is recognised in some universities as better than actual science.
No university, the University of Douchebag.
Is it basically...
Clearly I'm still fuming.
No, you're such a bitch. It's basically if your life is better with that person than without them, they are the right person for you. Forget about the extra trimmings of being like, you know, oh, they could be better looking, better, et cetera, et cetera.
Excuse me?
I'm not saying you could be fitter. I just mean that there is always areas that you could always improve on in people. I always equate like relationships to a bit like a game of poker. If you feel like you've got the best possible hand, you should save it, because you can always think, oh, if I fold those cards, I might get a better hand, I might get a royal flush, I might get a straight or whatever, when actually what you had was the best for you.
Yeah.
So that's my version. You couldn't be any more beautiful than you are, so that's not what I'm saying. No, I could be more compassionate. You know, that's probably my biggest work on. You know, and you know, you could be really less annoying, but that's your work on. But do you know what I mean? I could not
have this weird hair.
But I think for me, it's you know, you've got to look at your relationship, and if your life is not better with them, if they're bringing you down, if they're negative, I think in life it's really important to surround yourself with positive people to help you achieve your journey, and you need someone to support you. And it's undeniable that everything Chloe does is about trying to help me and support me, and that makes my life really easy, and it's allowed me to achieve a level of success. And I push Chloe to be successful in her own life, and she is incredibly successful with nothing to do with me. But the point is that we benefit each other in those ways. I think if you want to really enjoy life, you need someone who is positive, upbeat, and makes your life better. If you are a dreamer, then you need someone to ground you, vice versa. So that's my equation. And if any of those boxes aren't ticked, it's time to move on, however difficult it seems. But it's certainly the right thing to do, I think.
Okay, so just so I feel like you're saying that you have come out of a relationship already. Long-term relationship, and I'm sorry, because if you don't want it, it's very, 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 very painful. And you know, I think everybody knows, you know, everyone says this really cliche sentence, like there's so many songs and films and books based on heartbreak, but when you're really going through it, it almost feels like it's underrated how painful it can be. And it can be really, really painful. And actually, the chemicals in your brain and the way that your body physiologically responds to going through a breakup is like coming out off an addictive substance. It's very, very real. And if you look at the science behind it, like, it's horrible. And it takes a while. I mean, the worst breakup I ever had, it took me nearly a year, if not a full year, to get over. And that's a year of horrific, like, just pain. It was just awful. So much so, actually, that they did a study in America where they gave a group of people, and there's a TED Talk on this. Guys, look at TED Talk. I can't remember the guy. He's phenomenal.
Ted?
Yeah, Ted, the scientist. But I think he's a psychiatrist, because he's well-versed in medicine as well as psychology. And he talks about, they did a study and they gave people Tylenol, which is quite a high-strength American over-the-counter painkiller. But it's a high-strength painkiller. And it reduced the pain that they reported feeling after going through a horrible breakup, which I mean, there are more studies beyond that, but it just goes to show that it is actually, it does have like a domino effect on your physical well-being. But try and find that TED Talk. I can't remember what it's called, but just Google TED Talk heartbreak and it'll come up if you're interested. It really helped me when I was going through a horrible breakup.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The truth is that, again, data and studies would show that actually it's very, very hard to get over a previous relationship and a past love until you meet someone new. So what that basically means is that having those withdrawals is a very real thing of those feelings, and it's incredibly hard to then kind of, you then after that, well, you know, once you have withdrawn and you're kind of in a good physiological space, then you sentimentalize, as we all know, and you become very nostalgic about the relationship, and you forget everything bad that happened, and you think about and you remember everything good that was, and you put this thing on a platform, and it's all you can then mentally, psychologically focus on. But then it doesn't really stop. It's kind of like a runaway train until you meet someone new. And that's what evidence goes to show. So this is why it's so important when people are like, you need to get back out there. And I don't mean when you're in that state of withdrawal, which will probably take a few weeks or a few months. Not then, that's too soon. But get back out there, get back on the horse, because the whole thing is that it will get easier when you meet somebody new. So,
but also when you do start, I think, getting out of the relationship, you're in a constant comparison mode, which is a nightmare to be in.
Yeah.
So the whole idea of, you know, to lads, to each other, right, just go out and bang everybody, just get back on the horse, it's actually not particularly fulfilling, and I don't think it's the right solution. You're better off focusing on, I think, if you come out of a relationship for the right reasons, as we talked about, that, you know, your life is not better with them than without them, that you know, you need the right kind of characters to help you be the best version of yourself. And you've certainly made me the best version of myself. Like, I am much more compassionate, much more kind, you know, much more kind. People comment, you know, I'm just not so, you know, aggressive with the crap chat all the time, that I'm much more understanding and have a bit of a more of a softer side, you know, sort of like an armadillo, hard on the outside, soft on the inside. I think we use that joke already. I'm repeating myself.
Yeah.
But I think, I also think you shouldn't get into the thing of comparison. I actually think when you come out of a breakup, you need to focus solely on yourself and your self-development. Be the best version of yourself and love, and the next person will come before you know it.
I totally agree with that. And when I met you, I'd just gotten out of that horrible initial phase of withdrawal, and I had no interest whatsoever in speaking to you, spending time with you. I didn't want to know, like, in a romantic way. I was like, oh, this person could be really fun to be friends with, because, like, we got on, like, right off the bat, even though I kind of also simultaneously hated you. We did also get on. Just so offensive with all your chat. I was just like, oh, I don't know about this guy. But I also was like, oh, I could be friends with him. But I had no interest. But I agree with you, and you're completely right. And I've been through that too. But what I'm saying is that if you're actually through that withdrawal phase, is what I'm saying, where you're like, oh God, and like I say, that could be a few weeks, a few months, and then you're kind of hanging on and, like, sentimentalizing the relationship or this person, a very good strategy is to start dating, because you'll very quickly realize that, you know, life moves on and there is nothing that's special.
Well, yeah, but unless you go for the wrong type of person. So say, you know, because men are quite not materialistic, but what's the word?
Surface,
right? You know, there's nothing worse. We've got a friend that we want to get him on the show. We won't mention his name, but he goes to the same type of girl every single time. You know who?
Was he there last
big
night?
Big cans, rubber lips. You know exactly who I'm talking about, right?
Let's name him.
No, and he, he's not particularly fulfilled because, funny enough, there isn't a lot of depth behind that level of
appearance. It's really
interesting,
and this is, again, I blame porn for this. He goes for one type of aesthetic in a woman.
But this massive fake wangers.
Like, everything fake. Everything fake. So, again, he's like a sucker for the filter generation now. Yeah. He sees this fakeness. He's like, that's the one. And then meets them in real life and is like, oh, no. Yeah. But you know what's so funny is that, well, I won't say his name.
We're not going to say his name.
We'll call him Jason.
Okay.
Shame on you, Jason, because it's your own bloody fault. But at the same time, this is someone who is incredibly intelligent.
Yeah.
Actually very cultured in terms of his knowledge of things like the art. So really smart, incredibly hard working.
Really good looking dude.
Unbelievably sexy.
Well, and you're relax. Just like, no,
he's
over the top,
he's a friend.
Well,
but like,
too good a friend.
No, but he's sexy.
It.
You know, like you would see someone in a nightclub standing there holding their drink, and you'd be like, oh, he's got a thing about him. That's
and
him.
He's intelligent as well, which is bizarre because you want stimulating conversation from potentially a pair of airbags.
And athletic, like really athletic. Right, great
Chloe,
body.
Listen.
Pick him up because we're going to have him on.
I bigged it up. Just you take your foot off the gas.
I'm trying.
You know, you're getting all.
Stop.
You know,
I'm bigging him up. We will have him on.
Slide off the bed.
Yeah, no, he's really funny. But what I'm saying is that I'm like, how funny that this is like a fetish thing.
Yeah.
And you, I'm sorry, but you have fetishes too.
Oh, God.
The schoolgirl outfit, everyone.
What are you talking about? I said a short pleated skirt.
Okay. What happens when you see a short pleated skirt on
Nothing.
A girl.
Well, no, I just
you
go,
don't
I
see
look,
anything.
I just,
that and you're
I just
in
go,
it.
Look, there's. I'm not in it. I'm not putting it on. But I'm not in it. I go, oh, this, I wonder if she's good to chat to.
So much so. Should we tell the story? The guy that we're talking about broke up with an ex-girlfriend, and the ex-girlfriend was so fucking smart. Love a girl like this. I'm like this. Just randomly happened to show up around about where he worked. Wearing the sluttiest outfit ever. Like, I'm talking like knee highs, the shortest tartan skirt you've ever seen. And he was like
a school,
what?
Like a white shirt, a button at the top,
whole
with huge
thing.
Wangers hanging
out.
Yeah,
huge wangers, like black lace bra. He like filmed it behind his desk at work and filmed her and sent it to James. James, of course, showed it to me. Yeah. And was like, what the fuck am I
under
meant to do with this?
Guard. Who the hell's that bird?
It was matter of days before they're back together. So much so that we now call him U-Turn.
Yeah, U-Turn, you know who
he
you
was
are.
Like, never getting back with her. Yeah. And then it was like, she showed up in a tan shirt. And James was like, fair play to her. And I was like, she
you
did
got respect that.
She merged
that.
Both of your fantasies.
But it is interesting that, you know, if you go, when you come out of a relationship, if you go for that gratuitous look, you know, you've got to ask, is there a lot of depth behind it? I'm not saying that there's you know, ladies out there with you know, huge and breast enlargements and lips that aren't super intelligent at saving lives and are really good people.
No, okay, I ain't got nothing against that. First of all, the reason I haven't had my boobs done is because I happen to be a big fan of the shape of my boobs.
Right.
And I don't want to mess it up.
You have got perfect boobs.
No, I don't want to mess it up.
No, and that's what I've said. Yeah. I told you that. You
but
didn't
I'd
tell
still,
me
but,
that.
But
I told you
I
that.
I simultaneously would really like them to be bigger. So at the same time, I'm like, well, it's like a gamble for me, but I wouldn't not do it. And I did have my lips done, and it went very, very wrong.
I told you not to do that as well. I said, don't enhance yourself.
And I had I had to have them dissolved. Fuck off. I had to have them dissolved, ergo, I've never done it again. But what I'm trying to say is absolutely no judgment. Like, and also, I broke my nose twice growing up because I'm such a tomboy and I just kept doing stupid shit and breaking it.
Yeah.
And I was really insecure about it. And I swear to God.
You're the only person I knew you could smell around corners with your nose, didn't you?
In it. Jared. James used to call me Jared Depardieu.
No, I called her Jared Depardieu.
Yeah, he's horrible.
Oh, it's only a joke. And she went with him next week.
No, that
I was just thought my nose out. I've got a nose job. I was like, whoa, when banter goes wrong.
So then, no, I'm so happy I did it. So then I got it fixed because I never wanted to be that girl that had a nose job or had plastic surgery, so I never did it. I swear to God, it was the best thing I've ever done. So anyway, long way around me saying no judgment if you had plastic surgery, but what we're talking about, this is a fetish, isn't this is the only woman he will speak to, and that's a bit
but I think if you come out of a relationship you're a bit sensitive and you're hit with that, where it's, you know, it's got a Rolls Royce chassis but absolutely, you know, Ford KA engine, you're not going to get that depth, then you'll start pining after it.
Like,
so I think you should need to be careful. I do agree with you, getting back on the horse is important, but I think people coming out of relationships should not worry about the next relationship. They should focus solely on themselves. Like, develop yourself better, get yourself in better shape, make yourself happy at work, sort relationships out with friends or family. And if you're flying high, your confidence is skyrocketing, you're performing at work, you've got cash in the bank, someone right will come along. If you go, do you know what? I'm all about trying to find another partner. I need to find love. I meet women all the time. Sorry. I meet women all the time in our group of friends and different people who don't have men. And they're so hell-bent on finding a partner. That's their only thought process. But if they spent less time thinking about it and more time on self-development, shit takes care of itself. One comes before the other.
No, that's true. Like, I have a really good friend of mine who's, like, single, and she's not working right now. And I don't know. I think you're probably, and she's very, very obsessed with finding a partner. Yeah. And we've had this conversation, so I'm not being a dick. Like, we've had this talk multiple times in big groups of friends. It's like, I agree with you. I think the best thing I did after my last horrible breakup when I met you was, it was horrible.
Win the lottery from the fucking sounds of it.
It was horrible and I got over it. Mm. But when I met you, I actually was in a really, really good headspace. I was in the best shape I've ever been in. Well, no, I've been in better shape since, but at that time, it was the best shape I'd ever been in. My career was going from strength to strength. Things were really starting to pick up for me, and it was because I was selfish. And for the first time in my life, I was really, really, really focused on myself, and it was the best thing that's ever happened. But it is true to say that I'd had a relationship before that where if I hadn't found my next boyfriend, it would have been almost impossible to get out of it. What are you doing?
I'm wrapping this up because we're about to run out of battery, so I'm going to have to go.
Oh, we're about to run out. Oh, we have so much more to this question. Well, look, we can come back to it next week.
Thank you so much for everyone who's tuned in this week. If you want to subscribe, share, it's a YouTube show, leave us feedback for that prat that said we're using terrible language, not helping 2020 get better. Screw you. We'll catch you all soon for Couples Quarantine episode 6.
What, saying fuck is no, fucking no, it's up my, the world.
No, you saying birds about women and stuff wrong.
Well, I'm a woman and I've got a lot of female friends, and I don't think any one of us would be offended at being called a bird. As long as you're not being rude about us being birds.
Right, fine. All right.
Like fucking stupid birds.
All right, that's
then
enough
it's offensive.
Now for this week. I love you all.
That was a very abrupt goodbye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.